We're now in Udupi, South India, with Mahaprabhu. And we're in Udupi, where the famous deity of Madhvacharya is, Nartaka Gopal. He's called Nartaka Gopal here in pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Udupi Krishna. He's a beautiful deity of Krishna holding a churning rod, a butter churning rod. This is called mantan, in his right hand, and then surrounding him around his neck or waist or whatever, some ropes for tying cows or for going around the churning rope and pulling the churning rope. He's called Nartaka Gopal, the dancing Gopal. And Lord Chaitanya has met the Acharya there, the Tattvacharya, Tattvavadi Acharya. And he's having some discussion. He's asked him, can you tell me the essence of all the Vedas? What is it? Sadhana Sadhya Tattva. What is the goal of life, Sadhya? And what is the process to attain it, the sadhana? So then the Acharya of the Madhva Sampradaya, this guru or the head of the Madhva Sampradaya, he says that the goal is liberation, the five kinds of liberation. Sayujya, Sharsti, Samipya, Salokya, Sarupya. And the means, that's the sadhya, that's the goal. And the means is to properly execute your duties in the Varnashram Dharma system. This is the essence of all scriptures. This is the goal of all life, the sadhana and sadhya. And Lord Chaitanya says, Acha. Well, that's what you say. But I say that the verdict, or the conclusion of all the scriptures is Shravanam Kirtanam. He says, Shravanam Kirtanam. And then Kahi, he says, all the Shastras say that the means to the end is to hear and chant about God, and the conclusion or the goal is the Prem Seva of the Lord. Krishna Prem Seva. This is the Parama Sadhana and Sadhya. And then Prabhupada says in his purport, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying the highest goal is simply to serve Krishna, either in the material world or the spiritual world. We don't care about going back home, back to Godhead. He says, according to the Tattvavadis is a name for the followers of Madhvacharya Sampradaya. According to them, the highest goal is returning back home, back to Godhead. But in the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the highest goal is attaining love. Not rupam, not a form like Vishnu, or not lokam. We don't want a planet. We don't want a body. We don't want a planet. We don't want wealth. We don't want intimacy. We don't want merging. We want love. And love means service. We want to serve. Serve the Lord in any position. In any location, any locus standi, whether it's here in the material world or in the spiritual world, Prabhupada says, Mahaprabhu's opinion is the highest goal is attaining love of Godhead in either the material world or the spiritual world. So he's saying, here or there, all we care about is Prem Seva. So then, now Lord Chaitanya, he asked one question of the Tattvavadi. And he got one verse answer, and then he replied by several verses to enlighten the Tattvavadi. This is called Gauranga Gita, the teachings of Lord Gauranga. So he said, yes, you told me the verdict of the scriptures is Varnashram Dharma. That's very nice. Okay, now be quiet. Now be quiet and listen to me, since you don't really know anything. So I'm actually going to illuminate you with Tattva. You're calling yourself a tattvavadi, but actually you're an atattva. You don't know the tattva, so now I'm going to give you the tattva. Please listen. Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu, smaranam parasevanam, archanam vandanam dasyam, sakyam atmanavedanam. Itipam sarpita Vishnu, bhaktishchainavalakshana, kriyeta bhagavat yada, tanmanye ditamuttamam. He's saying here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is educating the Acharya of the Madhva Sampradaya. This process, I told you about the process of attaining Krishna Prem Seva. I told you about Shravanam and Kirtanam. This process entails hearing, chanting, and remembering the holy name, form, pastimes, qualities, and entourage of the Lord. Offering service according to time, place, and circumstance. Worshipping the deity. Offering prayers. And always considering oneself the eternal servant of Krishna. Making friends with Krishna. And dedicating everything to Krishna. These 9 items of devotional service, when directly offered to Krishna, constitute the highest attainment of life. This is the verdict of the revealed scriptures. So you're saying, be a good Varni. You as a Tattvacharya, you say that the sadhana, we should be a good Varni, a good ashramite. We're in the Varna. Varna means social class. We're a Kshatriya or a Brahmana or Vaishya or Shudra. Be a good Shudra, be a good Vaishya. That's all you have to do. Follow your duty, your vidhi, yama niyama, or your Brahman, your ashram duties and rules and regulations of your ashram, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, that's not it. It's all external. You have to go higher. You have to go deeper. This is not the meaning of human life. Then he says, he was verse 261, chapter 9, Madhya Lila. Shravana kirtana hayate Krishna haya prema se panchama purusharta purushartera simha. Panchama purusharta. Panchama purusharta. The 5th desirable object of the human being. Dharm, art, kam, moksha. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. And then number 5, prema. When one comes to the platform of loving service to Sri Krishna, how? By executing these 9 processes of devotion, beginning with Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, then he has attained the 5th platform of success and the limit of life's goals. Purush Artha Sima. Sima, the word Sima means the limit. The absolute highest point you can go to, the limit, the ultimate extent, the highest point, the zenith. You can't go any higher than that. That's the highest point. You can't go higher than that. Prema is the highest entity. Prema is the highest attainment. Prema is the highest experience. Even in this world, you can sacrifice everything for love. Position, name, fame, position, power, money, social standing, everything you can throw it away for love. They have a phrase in English, love conquers all. Or lust or whatever. It's really lust. But this is prema, Krishna prema. So prema conquers all. Everything becomes subservient to prema. We say, there's a phrase that sometimes acharyas say. They say, mercy above justice, love above power. So someone, by justice, by law, they may have done some criminal act and be punished or be destined to be punished by being hung. So that's the justice. But but if the king is merciful, he may intercede for some reason and say, no, it's called clemency. Something like clemency. The king will intercede and say, no, by royal decree, set that criminal free. That is what I have to say. So the king is the highest authority in the kingdom. So if he intercedes on behalf of the criminal, then he can be free. Otherwise, he would be killed. So mercy above justice. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mercy above justice. Because by justice, Jagai and Madai, they should be killed. They should be murdered because they did so many crimes. But by the mercy of Nittai, especially Nittai, because Chaitanya was ready to kill him with the Sudarshan. So the justice was, you have offended a Vaishnava. You should be killed. But the mercy of Nittai interceded. And then he was relieved. So mercy above justice, love above power. Love above power means that Krishna's love is so great and so sweet that it conquers the power of Narayan and conquers the power of his consort. Mahavishnu was so enthralled and captivated by the Madhurya Rupam, the Rupa Madhurya, Dwarka Krishna, by the sweetness of Dwarka Krishna, that he made an arrangement that forced Dwarka Krishna and Arjuna to come to Mahavishnu Loka so he could give darshan. If you're familiar with the Krishna book, one Brahmin gave birth to children. They kept dying at birth. And he complained to Ugrasen in Dwarka. He was ruling Dwarka. And then Arjuna said, listen, I will protect your children. The next one that comes, I will make sure. If I can't protect your children, I'll enter the fire and give up my life. It's a long story. It's also described in some Puranas that Arjuna, he made the lady, the Brahmin's wife, when she was pregnant, just about to give birth, he took his arrows. And with his arrows, he covered the whole house like a geodesic dome. He covered the whole house of this Brahmin lady with his arrows. It's like a big half circle. And the arrows were so tightly woven that even a pinpoint couldn't get through. So this way no one would be able to get in there and steal that baby or whatever. So then he was standing on guard with his bow and arrow. So now she was giving birth to this child. And then she gave birth. And then as soon as she gave birth, then Mahavishnu arranged to steal that child. And then the lady was crying, wah, 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 wah. And then the husband went in to see her in the room. He said, oh, where's the baby? And there wasn't even any baby. Before, the babies would be born and they would be dead. Brahmin would see the dead child, then he would burn them or throw them in a river, whatever. Usually they throw them in a river. And then he went to complain. So then he went to Arjuna. He said, what is this, Arjuna? You're so proud of your Gandiva and that you can do anything and you're invincible and even Yamaraj can't stop you. So where's your boasting? At least before, when my wife gave birth, I could see the child's face. But this time, I couldn't even see the face of my child. It came out and immediately disappeared. So now you enter the fire. Because that was his word. If I can't protect your child from death, then I'll enter the fire. So then Arjuna was about to jump in the fire. And Krishna said, wait a minute. It's a little rash. Let's come with me. And he told the Brahmin, just wait. We're going for a ride. We'll be right back. So then they got in Krishna's chariot. Then they went up, searching around here and there, Yamaloka here and there. And then Yamaraj said, look, you have to go to Mahavishnu. He's got the children up there. So Mahavishnu made this whole arrangement just so he could get darshan of Krishna, because he's so attracted to the sweet beauty of Krishna. Let's see. So this is called love above power, because he's so powerful, but the beautiful, loving form of the Lord is attracting even him. And what to speak of his own wife, Lakshmi Devi. She left him to come to Vrindavan and do austerity so she could get to enter into the sweet leela of Krishna and the Rasa dance. So she was attracted. So this mercy above justice, love above power. So the Lord is preaching here to the, as always, he's teaching Gauranga Gita. Is that this is when one comes to the platform of loving service to Krishna by executing these nine processes of hearing and chanting, then he's attained the fifth platform of success. So this is something interesting, because throughout the Vedic paradigm, all the Vedic literature, they talk about chatur purusharta, the four goals of life, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, bas. Then along comes the golden avatar and says, forget it, that's all external, that whole thing is external. What? That whole thing is external? Wait a minute, you're threatening my family business. You're threatening my family business. You're saying this is external? That all the varnas are external? Varna and ashram is all external? Yes. And the four varnas, four ashrams are all external? Yes. And karmakanda and gyanakanda and upasanakanda is all external? Yes. Hey, well, you're bogus. Get out of here. We didn't ask you to come down here. Go back to Bengal. You're making too many waves down here. So then He's introduced something because you won't find anywhere in any Vedic literature, Panchama Purushartha. You go and find in the Shruti, Smriti, anywhere. Nowhere. You can't find. Chatur Purushartha, four things. He's saying, no, five. And the fifth one's what counts. This is the thing. This is human life, is meant to attain this. The goal of life is prema, 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 not moksha. But every other Vaishnava, every other Vaishnava, every other Acharya, they're all preaching, except Nimbark. The goal of life is moksha, 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 moksha. Moksha, moksha, moksha. And every Indian is ingrained in their brain, brainwashed. Moksha, moksha, moksha. Why you chant Hare Krishna? For moksha? Chanting Hare Krishna gives you moksha? No, we're not chanting Hare Krishna for moksha. Well, then why bother? You want bhukti? You want some sense gratification? No, simply seva. Prem seva. Oh, you fool, you stupid. What is this? Then Lord Chaitanya goes on. Now he's quoting Bhagavatam. He already quoted Bhagavatam. He's saying something in his own vernacular of Bengali to... At least it's recorded here in Bengali. And then now he's using Praman. He's backing up his statements with Bhagavatam, which is the Parama Samhita. This is Mukhya Praman. This is the topmost Praman, is Srimad Bhagavatam. Evam vratasva priya nama kirtya chatana rago drita chituche asatyato no roditi notigayat yaun madvan mrityati lokabaya. He's saying, this is from 11th Uddhava Gita, 11th Canto, chapter 2, verse 40. When a person is actually advanced in spiritual life, and he takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and he loudly chants the holy name. He laughs and cries and becomes agitated and chants like a madman, not caring for outsiders. Of course, sometimes new bhaktas are like that. They chant like madmen. But that's not because of spiritual advancement. It's just due to mental derangement. Due to some residual chemicals percolating in their bloodstream. They get a little wild sometimes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. I remember when they used to have devotees like that in the temple. And temple president would tell him to go stand in the corner. Chant in the corner. So the corner would absorb their... Go on the rooftop or something. Karma ninda karma tyag sarva shastre kahe karma haite prema bhakti Krishna kobe nahi. Mahaprabhu goes on. In every revealed scripture, there is condemnation of fruitive activities. Karma ninda karma tyag sarva shastra kahe. It is advised everywhere to give up engagement in fruitive activities, for no one can attain the highest goal of life, love of God, by executing them. So all these karma kanda, all these things, they're not conducive for Krishna prema bhakti. Kabu nahi, one can never achieve Krishna bhakti by the path of karma. Then he goes on, Agya yevam gunam dosham mayadishtan api swakan dharmam santyajya yasarvan mam bhajat satcha sattama. Occupational duties are described in the religious scriptures. If one analyzes them, he can fully understand their qualities and faults and then give them up completely to render service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A person who does so is considered a first-class man. So here Lord Chaitanya is telling, you said Varnashram Dharma. Do your karmas and duties of your Varnan Ashram. Now Lord Chaitanya is saying, actually, the scriptures are saying that this will never give you bhakti. You can do these things, fine. This upasana, karma, kanda upasana. But you'll not get prema this way. I'm talking about prema. I'm talking about Krishna prema seva. But you won't get it that way. The way you're talking about, you can't get what I'm talking about. You can get your mukti or get some promotion in the material world or promotion to the lower aspect lower dimension of the spiritual world, but you can't get what I'm talking about, the intimate, confidential prem seva of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And then he's saying that if you can actually analyze these duties in Varnashram and then give them up, then you're really a smart guy. Then you're really intelligent. What you're advocating that people should embrace actually should be given up. Then Lord Chaitanya says, Sarva dharman prityaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papevyo moksha yishami mashuchaha, which is a famous verse from Bhagavad Gita. He says, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is acting like Lord Krishna. He's in the Kshetra, the battlefield of the Kshetra is Udupi Kshetra. Udupi Kshetra, not Kurukshetra, Udupi Kshetra. And Arjuna has taken the form of the Tattvavadi Acharya. So he's quoting the Gita, but he's actually telling him. He's telling the Tattvacharya, listen, just surrender. Abandon all these varieties of Dharma and just surrender to me, Lord Chaitanya, to Krishna, to me. Then he says, Tavat karmani kuravita na nirvidyeta yavata matkata shavanadova shada yavanna jayate. This is 11th canto, 20th chapter, verse 9. As long as one is not satiated by fruit of activities and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by shravanam and kirtanam, one has to act according to the regulative principles of Vedic injunctions. So Lord Chaitanya is trying to show him, actually one should unequivocally surrender and simply engage in hearing and chanting. But if he can't do that, which is what I'm prescribing and recommending, and also Lord Krishna and Gita, then he should do what you're advocating. He should backpedal. He should step back. If he can't spend his time hearing and chanting about me, then he should step back and just follow the rituals and karmas of the Varnashram system, which is a lower pursuit and a lower practice, but that's something. Get started in the right direction. And then he says, Panchavira mukti tyaga kari bhakti gan phagu kari mukti deki narakarasam. So that's people that can't cut it, can't actually surrender, sarvadharman pratyajan, they can't actually engage in hearing and chanting due to misfortune, then they should follow your path of following the Varna and Ashram Dharma. But actually, now he got back to the point, but pure devotees, he's saying here, pure devotees reject the five kinds of liberation. What you're trying and struggling to attain in Madhva Sampradaya, these five kinds of liberation, actually pure devotees of the Lord, they reject it. Indeed, for them, liberation is very insignificant. Pure devotees of Krishna, they see liberation as like hell. You say your idea of heaven is liberation, but your idea of heaven is our idea of hell. You say liberation is heaven. That's desirable. That's what you should want. That in human life, you should strive for that and work for that. And we say, we pure devotees, we Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we worshippers in Radha and Krishna, we say that's hell. That's actually hell. We don't want that. It's hellish. That's what he says. It says, Panchavita Mukti Tyagakari Bhaktagan. Bhaktagan, all the group of devotees, they say, Phagu Kari. They say it's Phagu, it's false, it's insignificant. Kari Mukti Deki Narakara Sama. Narak. Narak Sama. It is equal to hell. It's interesting. Yes, what is your conception of heaven? Yes, our conception of heaven is the five types of liberation. Well, your conception of heaven is our conception of hell. You call it heaven, we call it hell. Then it says, Salokya Sharsi Samipya Sarup Salokya Sharsi Samipya Sarupya Kattavam Apyuta Diyamanam Nagrinanti Vinamat Sevanam Jana. Pure devotees always reject the five kinds of liberation, which includes living in the spiritual Vaikuntha planets, possessing the same opulences as those possessed by the Lord. It's called Sharshti Mukti or Salokya Mukti. Having the same bodily features of the Lord, Sarupya Mukti. Associating with the Lord, this is Samipya. and merging into the body of the Lord, Sayujya, Brahma Kaivalya. The pure devotees do not accept these benedictions without service of the Lord. Vina mat sevanam jana. Without seva, we don't mind. Yes, we don't mind going back to Godhead. We don't mind going back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world, as long as we have seva. Our first inquiry is, well, what will I do there? If I go back to Godhead, what will I do there? What is my seva? Oh, you just relax, enjoy. Well, I don't want to go. I want to serve. I'm a serving entity. I'm a unit of service, a particle of service. That is my sarup. My sarup is made of that. I'm an eternal serving particle. So if I have no service, I have no life. Service is my life. I live to serve. I'm made of service. Jivera sarupaya, Krishna nityadas. This is my sarup. This is my very form. How can I live without seva? And then he quotes another verse from Bhagavatam, fifth canto. These are many verses from Bhagavatam. 11:29, 3:29:13, 5:14:44, 6:17:28. Lord Chaitanya is quoting one verse after another from Bhagavatam to explain his points. This is from Bhagavatam 5:14:44. Yadustijan shatisuta swajanarta dharan partyam shriyam saravare sariyavalokam naichanri pastaruchitam hatam madu dwit sevana rakta manasam avavo pifalga. It is very difficult to give up material opulence, land, children, society, friends, riches, wife, or the blessings of the goddess of fortune, which are desired even by great demigods. But King Bharat did not desire such things, and this was quite befitting his position, because for a pure devotee, whose mind is always engaged in the service of the Lord, even liberation or merging into the existence of the Lord is insignificant, and what to speak of material opportunities. And then he goes on. Narayana parasarve nakutashchana bibhyati swargapavarga narakesh vapituliyarta darshanaha. A person who is a devotee of Lord Narayan is not afraid of a hellish condition, because he considers it the same as elevation to the heavenly planets or liberation. Devotees of Lord Narayan are accustomed to seeing all things on the same level. So Prabhupada's saying, if someone's a devotee of the Lord, he doesn't matter, he'll go anywhere, he'll go to heaven, hell, anywhere to serve the Lord. He sees it's the same. In other words, just like they have this phrase in Christianity, they say that the devil is speaking, the devil, Diablo, Kali, Maya, whatever you want to call it. The devil says, I would rather reign in hell than serve in heaven. So the devil is saying, I would rather go to hell and reign, be a lord. I would rather reign, R-E-I-G-N, reign. I would rather rule there, rule in hell, which is, of course, it's hell, than serve in heaven. I would rather reign in hell than serve in heaven. But our phrase, devotee's phrase is, I would rather serve in hell than live in heaven. I would rather serve in hell than live in heaven, just living in heaven. In other words, I want to serve, even if I go to hell, as long as I can serve. The Prabhupada has a very nice purport. This verse is spoken by King Chitraketu, 6:17:28. Well, of course, there's a story Prabhupada tells. Chitraketu was flying around in his flower airplane with some celestial damsels. They were the Gandharvas, and they were very expert in singing. So he engaged them in singing the glories of Lord Narayan. They weren't singing cinema songs or doing belly dances in his airplane. They were actually, they were glorifying the Lord. And he was a pure devotee, and he wanted to hear nice singing, celestial singing, the glorification of his Lord. So he, I don't know if he hired them or he asked them, but anyway, he was just riding around listening to the glories of the Lord. Chitraketu was a pure devotee of the Lord. But it's a story to teach some different points. So he saw Parvati was sitting on the lap of Lord Shiva. There was an assembly of sages there. And then seeing that sight, Chitraketu laughed slightly. He laughed. And Parvati became disturbed by that. And she said, you're acting like a demon. So she cursed him to become a demon, Vritrasura. The story is in the sixth canto. But Vritrasura was also a pure devotee. And the prayers of Vritrasura are very wonderful prayers of Sharanagati and taking absolute shelter of the Lord. And many of the acharyas, they study these prayers because they reveal pure devotion. Pure devotion to the Lord first manifest in sixth canto with the story of Vritrasura, especially his prayers. So although he was such a great devotee, Chitraketu, he could have easily counteracted the curse of Parvati. Because there are so many prayaschitta measures in the scriptures, karmakanda scriptures, that if this happens, then you can counteract it with that. If someone curses you like this, and you can counter-curse it like that, you can counteract it by some other type of activity. You can neutralize it or become free from it. And he had the power to do that, and he had the knowledge and awareness to do that. But he accepted, all right, it's the Lord's will. This is the will. The Lord wants to teach something through my life example. So he immediately accepted the curse with a bowed head. When he agreed to accept the curse, Lord Shiva praised him and told Parvati that a devotee of Lord Narayan is never afraid of accepting any position, provided there is a chance to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the purport of the verse, Narayana Praksarve Nakutashna Bibhyati. And then Lord Chaitanya goes on, Mukti Karma Dui Vastu Tyaji Bhaktagan Se Dui Shtapatumi Sadhya Sadhan. Mahaprabhu said, both liberation and fruitive activity are rejected by devotees. You are trying to establish these things as life's goal and the process for attaining it. What you're trying to establish, Tattvacharya Ji, is rejected. Liberation, fruit of activity. In other words, you're engaging people now in fruit of activity of varna and ashram, and hopefully that will lead them to moksha, liberation. But both of these, fruit of activity and liberation, are rejected by devotees. You're trying to establish these as life's goal. Mukti karma dui vastu, tyaji bhaktigan. You're saying that these are the sadhana and the sadhya. You're saying the sadhana is fruit of activities, karmakandya, varnashram dharma. And you're saying your sadhya, your goal of life, your goal, your sadhya, is liberation. And your sadhana and sadhya is rejected by devotees. Tyagi. Tyagi means renounced. Sanyasi dekhiya more karahavanchan nak. Kahila Teni Sadhya Sarana Lakshan. Mahaprabhu continued to speak to the Tattvavadi Acharya. Seeing that I am a mendicant in the renounced order of life, Sannyasi Dekiya, you have been playing with me in a duplicitous way. You have not actually described the process and the ultimate objective. Then, Shuni Tattvacharya Haila, Antareila Jita, Prabhura Vaishnavata Deki Haila Vismita. After hearing Mahaprabhu, the Acharya of the Tattva Sampradaya became very much ashamed. Lajita. Lajita means very much ashamed. Laja means shy. He became very shy. Upon observing Mahaprabhu's rigid faith in Vaishnavism, he was struck with wonder. Prabhu Vaishnavata, Deki, Haila Vismita, Acharya Kai Tumije, Kahase Satyahai, Sarva Shastri Vaishnavara, E Shunishtai. The Tattvavadi Acharya replied to Mahaprabhu, "What you have said is certainly factual. It is the conclusion of all the revealed scriptures of the Vaishnavas." So he appears to have been influenced. It appears that the Tattvacharya, after hearing some shlokas from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has become convinced. He's accepting that this is actually the way. And what you're saying is right. You're speaking the truth. I'm appreciating it. So he's becoming humbled. He was so proud. Yes, sit down, little boy, I'll tell you. Lord Chaitanya is 25, 26 at this time. Tattvacharya, and one doesn't become an acharya in Madhva Sampradaya until he's about 60 or 70. Older, an actual guru. Usually they're quite old. Not some young man. They have so much training and so much puja and so much tapasya and study they have to go through before they're given the post of acharya of the different mats. So now he's becoming lajita, very shy and shameful, embarrassed, and becoming submissive and accepting the position. Yes, actually you are speaking the conclusion of this Vaishnava Shastra. Tatapi madhvacharya je karyachi nirbhanda se acharya sabe sampradaya sambandha. Still, whatever Madhvacharya is established as the formula for our party, we practice as a party policy. So this is also, he's being true to his line. His line is Madhva. He's in the Madhva line. He's the Acharya for the Madhva Sampradaya. So he's saying, yes, actually, I see the light of what you're saying. I see the essence and truth of what you're saying. But nevertheless, I am surrendered to Madhva's line and Madhva's teaching. So I am also correct in the sense that I'm following my line. This is our formula for our party. Prabhukai karmi gyani dui bhaktahina tomara sampradaye deki se dui china. Mahaprabhu said, both the fruitive worker and the speculative philosopher, karmi and gyani, are considered non-devotees. We see both elements present in your sampradaya. In other words, he's saying, in your sampradaya, Madhva sampradaya, we see that it's full of karmis and gyanis. And they're not even devotees. They're not even worshippers of the Lord. They're simply interested in their own satisfaction, which is not bhakti. Sabayeka guna deki tomara sampradayi satya vigraha kari ishvare kara nishchay. The only qualification, ek gun sabay, in all, ek gun deki tomara sampradaya, the one good thing, the one good quality I see in your sampradaya, eke gun, eke gune deki, tomare sampradaya. What is it? Satya vigraha kari ishvara karha nishchoy. Is that you have nishcha, you have conviction, you are very nishcha, nishchoy, sudrida nishchoy. You have strong conviction that the form of the Lord is true, that the actual Archamurti is God. You accept the form of the Lord as truth. Satya vigraha kari ishvare. You say that the vigraha is truth, the satya vigraha, the murti, this Udipi Krishna, Nartaka Gopal. You accept him, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a good thing. He mata tanra kari, garva churna kari, fagol tirte tavichyali, chali aila gora hari. Thus Mahavru broke the pride of the Tattvavadis to pieces. He then went to all the holy places known as Falgu Tirtha. So this is the Garva Churna. Churna means like Lavan Bhaskar Churna. You ever heard of Lavan? Lavan Bhaskar? Lavan Bhaskar. Lavan means salt. Black salt and sea salt and Kadasi salt and mix these different salts together. It's called Lavan. Lavan means salt. Like when they say in Bengali, how do they say salt in Bengali? Huh? Luna, something like Luna or something? Orion Luna. Yeah, I think it's something Lovin or something in Bengali's Lovin. Long? Lun. Lun. Yeah, well, Lun comes from this Lovin. It's very similar to Lovin. So Lovin Bhaskar means this churna. It's a powder, a digestive powder that you take after eating when you eat too much Marwari Bhog. Marwari Bhog, Chaka Chak Bhog, Chapan Bhog. So he's saying that Garva Churna Kari, that in other words, Mahaprabhu pulverized their pride. He turned their pride into Lavan Bhaskar Churna, or Sita Palati Churna when you have a cold, or Hingostak Churna. He made it and he powderized it. Garva, his pride was like a mountain, and he turned this mountain into a pile of dust. Because he was Brahma, the Tattvavadi Acharya, so his garva means his pride. His pride was Himalayan, very tall, very hard, very powerful, immovable. And Lord Chaitanya turned it into dust, chorna, sprinkled it on the ground. At least that's the way it's told. That's our side of the story. Of course, if you go to the Madhvas, go on the internet, and you can see the Madhva side of the story. They may not so much agree with the whole program we're saying. Right. Just like we talk about Vallabhacharya in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but if you talk to the Vallabhas, they say there's only one Mahaprabhu. Vallabhacharya is Mahaprabhu, and he never met your Mahaprabhu, and you know they don't give any credit to that. He never took initiation from Gopal Bhatta or all these things, or Gadadhar, whoever it was. So tomorrow, it's a story of. Are you ready? Gopal Chapal offends Shivas Thakur. Gopal Chapal. You know this story? Well, find out tomorrow.